To conclude our fine circuit assembly program, we will now call upon Brother Nathan Garlock, who will develop the joyful theme entitled, Righteous Ones Will Praise Jehovah Forever.
Well, isn't it hard to believe that we're at the end of our circuit assembly? And it flew by. And I just want to commend all of you. You did so well. I mean, this is you functioning on less, an hour less of sleep. So well done. And what did we learn? Well, take out your programs and let's take a look at these review questions. And this is really going to help us. You know, did you find it difficult to write all the answers? And how many husbands here had their wife turn to them and say, what was that? I didn't get the whole answer there. And then were you able to help her? No. So hopefully now we're going to go nice and slow through all the answers. So take your programs out and we're going to go through them one by one, okay? So let's see how you did. So number one, what will we find if we pursue Jehovah's righteousness? Here was the answer, Proverbs 21:21. A close relationship with Jehovah now and everlasting life in the future. So that was our first one. A close relationship with Jehovah now and everlasting life in the future. Did you get all, is that written down? Just nod your head if that's written down. Okay, we're all good. Okay. Let's go to question two. What obligation do we have to people of all sorts, both inside and outside the congregation? Well, here's the answer from Proverbs 24, verse 11. We have been commissioned to help many others seek Jehovah's righteousness. We need to reach their hearts and appeal to their positive qualities. So that was a bit of a long one, right? So I'm going to read that again slowly. We've been commissioned to help many others seek Jehovah's righteousness. We need to reach their hearts and appeal to their positive qualities. So how'd you do with that? You got all that written down? Yeah? Everybody's good? Nod your head if you're good. You're not good? You're okay. Okay. All right, let's go to the next one. Number three, how can we imitate the way Noah kept seeking first God's righteousness? Psalm 71, verse 15, here it comes. We can recount Jehovah's righteousness all day long, doing all we can to preach to others. So there we go. We can recount Jehovah's righteousness all day long, doing all we can to preach to others. So that was the morning. Now let's move into our afternoon program. Our public talk answered the question, how can we distinguish right from wrong? The answer, Hebrews 5, verse 14, by considering Bible principles, we can train our powers of discernment to distinguish right from wrong. So by considering Bible principles, we can train our powers of discernment to distinguish right from wrong. And then it continued a little bit more, based on Jehovah's standards of righteousness, not our own. So based on Jehovah's standards of righteousness, not our own. So is everybody good with that? Yeah? Okay, here we go. Number five, what will help us to pursue righteousness? And the answer is 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. Now this was a ridiculously long answer. If you had a trouble with this one, don't feel bad. That means you're normal. So here it goes. Here's the answer. Living with soundness of mind, fleeing from materialism, fleeing from youthful desires, and not becoming unevenly yoked with unbelievers. And then it continued on. In business dealings, extracurricular activities, and courtship. So, did everybody get that? You're all good? If you didn't get it, I'm sitting right down there. You can just come see us right after, and we'll help you out with that. Question six. Now, we just got the answer to this. How does Jehovah feel about those who pursue righteousness? The answer is Proverbs 15, verse 9. Jehovah deeply loves them and will never fail to support them now and will reward them in the future. So Jehovah deeply loves them and will never fail to support them now and will reward them in the future. So hopefully you were diligent in taking notes because you want to benefit from the instruction. So that's a really good practice. Do you think Jehovah's organization is training us to not just sit and listen, but to take notes that we can really benefit from? Now, what's the benefit? Well, one of the benefits is that, you know, today's Sunday, so where are you going to be tomorrow? Maybe you're going back to school, or maybe you're going to work, or maybe you might just be talking to some worldly relatives, maybe even tonight, and you know, they're all going to ask you the same question. What are they going to ask you? How was your weekend? And then you're going to say, well, I went to a circuit assembly on the weekend. There's over 500 people there. And they're going to say, really? What did you do there? Well, we learned. Well, what did you learn? How do you answer it? Stuff. About God, you know? It's amazing, eh? In one day, it's gone. What happened to that? So here we are. We've got this tool now. Now, what's going to help us to really benefit from what we learned today? Because you're to be commended. Did you know that today we actually fit what used to be 2 days of instruction? Remember, there used to be 2 day circuit assembly. We put into 1 day, and we took away an hour of your sleep. So, I mean, you did well just to make it to the end of the day. But now, how are you going to benefit tomorrow and beyond? Well, here's some suggestions. Try one of these in the days or weeks ahead. Here it is. Number one, take your program with you tomorrow. Maybe give the program to someone else and have them ask the questions that we just went through and see how many answers you can get tomorrow. Try it out. See how that goes. So that's number one. Number two, select the question that you feel applies to you the most and try to put the answer in your own words and maybe memorize the scripture on that one. See, there might be a question that really, you know, touched your heart. Maybe one of the talks, that was for me. So use that one in particular. Number three, this is a really good one. Sometime this week, share one of the questions and answers with a workmate, a schoolmate, a teacher, or an interested person. See, if you're telling others about it, it helps you remember it. So see if you can do that sometime in the week. And here's a really good one. Review the question and answers as part of your next personal study or family worship period. So does everybody know what they're doing for family worship this coming week? We do now. We're going to go through the program together as a family. Maybe even talk about some of those demonstrations or interviews, these questions, see if we can get the answers as a family. And by doing that, we will retain the information. Because you all made such an effort to be here, you don't want that to go to waste. You want to make sure you retain that information. And now, is this going to take effort to do this? You know, are you here thinking, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do that. That's effort. That takes a lot of work. It's true. It will take effort. But take a look at our theme. Keep seeking Jehovah's righteousness. Keep seeking. What does that sound like? That sounds like hard work. Effort. So it is worth the effort to do these suggestions. You will benefit yourself, your family, and others too. So there's some ideas that can really help you to get the most out of what you learned throughout our day today. Let's talk a little bit about what's going to help us to pursue righteousness beyond today. And we don't just mean retaining the information we've learned. You know, to pursue righteousness involves so much more than just knowing what the right thing to do is. It even involves more than just obeying Jehovah. See, there's evidence in the Bible. Satan and the demons, they can obey Jehovah. Like when Jehovah commands Satan, don't kill Job, Satan had to obey. When Jesus commanded the demons, they obeyed. So demons can obey. To pursue righteousness requires more than just being obedient out of duty. What's required? Well, go with me, please, to Psalm 112 and verse 1 for the answer. Psalm 112, verse 1. It says there, praise Jah, Happy is the man who fears Jehovah, who takes great pleasure in his commandments. Now, do Satan and the demons take great pleasure in obeying Jehovah? No, it must kill them when they have to. But see, when we pursue righteousness, we're not just obeying. We're not just trying to figure out what's the right thing to do. We take pleasure in Jehovah's commands. Now, in order to take pleasure in Jehovah's commands, how do you do that? How do you get from, you know, maybe out of duty wanting to obey to I actually take pleasure in obeying Jehovah and pursuing righteousness? Well, one of the key ways to do it is to meditate on the benefits and blessings that come to you now and in the future from obeying Jehovah. His commandments are for our good, and when we apply them, we benefit. Meditating on that can really help us to not just obey, but to take pleasure in obeying Jehovah. In every little thing, in every area that he and his organization directs us in. Well, let's shift gears and talk about a few things that might make it difficult to pursue righteousness. So we're going to deal with three different things that maybe some of you might be able to relate to. So, number one, something that makes it difficult to pursue righteousness, to have that zeal for what's right, it might be because there's a passage of Scripture that troubles us. There might be something that we've read in the Bible that just doesn't sit well with us, we don't understand it fully, and it's kind of causing us to not feel zealous. Now, you might think, well, how could that be? Well, let's take a look at one, a passage that might trouble some. Let's turn to Luke chapter 20. Verses 34 to 36. So Luke 20, 34 to 36. Now here Jesus is speaking about our hope in the resurrection. So Luke 20, 34 to 36. Everybody got that? Okay, Luke 20, 34. Jesus said to them, "The children of this system of things marry and are given in marriage. But those who have been counted worthy of gaining that system of things and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. In fact, neither can they die anymore, for they're like the angels, and they are God's children by being children of the resurrection." So now this passage of Scripture, we've probably read this many times. Now, if you've lost a loved one, a mate in death, you know, if you've lost a husband or a wife and you had a good marriage and now they're gone, has that passage troubled you or encouraged you? See? For such ones, you know, they feel that things will not be right again until they're reunited with their mate in the resurrection. But then they read that and think, well, maybe when they're resurrected, they won't be marrying anymore. And then there's a real fear there because we feel, well, yeah, but that's not right. And then we feel like, well, if we're insisting on this, it's like we're forcing Jehovah to do what we think's right. That we're almost like putting our standard of what's right above his. And how comfortable are we with that? See, now we're really discouraged. Well, before we get into understanding more clearly what this scriptural passage is, let's just think about the principle. Can we trust Jehovah to always do what's right, by what's right meaning what's most beneficial for us? Can we trust him? Well, the answer might be automatically yes, but then you read that and you think, well, I'm not sure. But here's a couple examples just in the last 2 years that when we meditate on it, it should strengthen our resolve to never doubt Jehovah's view of what's right and that it benefits us. So here it goes. Think back just a couple of years ago, October 2013. Now, the first Saturday of October 2013, most of you were here, I think. Do you know what you were here for? You were here for the annual meeting. You were invited to come and see the video feed. Is that right? I think that happened here in Onaway, right? So you were invited here. Now, interestingly, you didn't have to go very far to see that feature of the governing body and all that happened at that annual meeting. You didn't have to drive too far, but in my last circuit, see, I was in southern British Columbia, and our last circuit went right down to Crow's Nest Pass, Alberta. And if the brothers there wanted to go see the program, do you know where they had to go? Vernon, British Columbia. So they had to travel from Crow's Nest Pass up way up to Vernon, B.C. I mean, Calgary was only 2 hours away, but no, that was full. They had to go all the way up there. Now, bear in mind, just a few months before that, we all got to see the zone visit to Canada Branch, the zone overseer. And how far did we have to drive for that? Into our kingdom hall, eh? So now this is a few months later, and these brothers are being asked, go up to Vernon. They got to get a hotel. They got to drive miles and miles, hours. Do you think some of the brothers were wondering what was going on with that? Do you think, are you kidding? Really? They want us to drive all that? What? Why don't they just beam it into our kingdom hall? They just did it. They could do it again. Why are they asking us to do that? Well, then we got to the assembly hall. What did we get, eh? Do you think anybody was complaining after they got one of these? Did you think it all became clear how, yeah, it'd be pretty hard to distribute those to every kingdom hall and keep it a top secret? See, it all became clear, eh? There we were. We were maybe doubting Jehovah's goodness a little bit. Let's fast forward a year. Now, the 1st October of 2014, the first Saturday in October of 2014 was the annual meeting again. And were you invited to go and watch it? Nope, none of us were. We weren't invited anywhere. I got to be clear, brothers. I was miffed. I was like, you got to be kidding. We can beam this everywhere, and they're not even going to invite us to the assembly hall, let alone our kingdom hall. We're going to miss it. What happened? Well, have we all seen the annual meeting for 2000? How far did you have to drive? Your couch. See? What did we get? We didn't get a new Bible. We got a new channel, JW Broadcast. So after it was all done, see, did we realize that, okay, maybe I was doubting Jehovah's goodness again? Did Jehovah come through? See, Jehovah is the giver of every good gift. He exceeds expectations. So now let's get back to our passage here that we read in Luke. Is Jehovah going to exceed expectations, our hopes and dreams? Is he going to do what's right? Well, without giving the answer of what the scripture actually means, I'd like to just share with you what the Watchtower of 2014, August 15th, had to say about this passage. It was a question from Reader's article about this. It said, while we cannot be dogmatic, is it possible that Jesus' words refer to the heavenly resurrection? If he was, then his words don't reveal whether resurrected ones on earth will marry or not. In any case, death dissolves the marriage bond, so a widower or a widow need not feel guilty if he or she decides to remarry. Now, notice this point. Understandably, we may have many questions about life in the new world. Rather than needlessly speculating on the answers to those questions, we'll just have to wait and see. But of this we can be sure. Obedient humans will be happy. For Jehovah will satisfy all their needs and desires in the best possible way. We have no reason to doubt that statement. Jehovah is righteous. He loves us. He will be sure to satisfy our proper desires in harmony with his will. So if a passage of scripture like that or any other passage we read causes us to feel a little troubled, you know, kind of like Abraham at Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, isn't Jehovah going to do what's right? Jehovah always does what's right. Don't allow our not understanding something to inhibit our pursuing of Jehovah's righteousness. So that's number one. Maybe we don't understand something. Be patient. Just keep serving Jehovah with all your heart. Second thing that can trouble us is we receive some discipline. Now, that can be deflating. Like, go back to that scripture at Hebrews 12, verse 11 that Brother Snape read just a little earlier. So let's go back there. It's all about Jehovah disciplining us, and Brother Snape reasoned there that, you know, Jehovah disciplines those he loves. But still, look what it says there. It says, true, no discipline seems for the present to be joyous, but it is painful. So now, if you've been disciplined by Jehovah or one of his representatives through the word, maybe even at our assembly here, there's something that kind of hits you. All of a sudden you feel down, feel discouraged. See? That can cause you to slow down in pursuing righteousness. But what can help us to adjust our view? Well, first of all, it's not as painful as it sounds. That's number one. See, Jehovah's discipline usually is in the form of education. So you've all been disciplined today, because we've all been educated for the whole day by Jehovah. How painful was today? Wasn't that painful, was it? Please smile. Right? It was pretty good. So Jehovah's discipline is not that painful. But Jehovah disciplines those who fail to discipline themselves when he has to give discipline in the form of punishment or counsel. So why does Jehovah do it? Because he wants us to benefit ourselves. He wants us to be righteous, to think the right way, and to act the right way. And when we do, he's so happy. So that's number two. If we get discipline, it can discourage us, but we got to have the right view. Jehovah loves us. And the third area that can deflate us is not only maybe we've been disciplined, but maybe we really messed up. You know, maybe it's not the discipline that we're discouraged by, but it's me that's discouraging me, that I've just messed up again. Well, let's take a look at a scripture that can encourage us. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. So let's turn there together. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. Now look how the righteous one is described in this verse. So Proverbs 24, verse 16. Okay? It says, "For the righteous one may fall seven times." So let's just pause right there. Do righteous people fall? Well, apparently they do. In fact, they fall multiple times. So when you fall, that doesn't mean you're not righteous. See, does the righteous one, is he righteous before he falls, but then after he falls, he's unrighteous? Apparently not, because the righteous one falls seven times. Now, what determines him being righteous? Since we know it's not the not falling that qualifies him to be righteous, because the righteous one falls. So what determines that he's righteous? Well, let's read the rest of the verse there. It says there, verse 16, it says, "For the righteous one may fall seven times, and he will get up again." See? So if you've made a mistake, that's going to discourage you. But if you get up one more time than the total numbers that you fall, you're righteous. So that should encourage all of us, because we all fall. We all mess up. But with Jehovah's help, we can get up, and then we're righteous, because we keep pursuing righteousness. Well, maintaining our righteousness is something that this program has been all about. What's going to help us to be motivated to pursue righteousness? Take a look in your program, because our last review question really helps us with this. It says, what will it take for us to praise Jehovah forever as righteous ones? Well, there's the scripture, Psalm 112, verse 1. And the answer is, we must take great pleasure in Jehovah's commandments, exercising faith and displaying godly fear despite imperfection and setbacks. So I'll read it one more time for you. It says, we must take great pleasure in Jehovah's commandments, exercising faith and displaying godly fear despite imperfection and setbacks. And that scripture, Psalm 112, let's just take a look at that again. Psalm 112, verse 1. And we read that earlier. Happy is the man who fears Jehovah, who takes great pleasure in his commandments. But take a look at verse 8. See there, it says, his heart is unshakable. He's not afraid. In the end, he will look in triumph on his adversaries. Well, isn't that interesting? At Armageddon, we're going to look on all the adversaries of Jehovah God. They're going to be defeated. But who's going to be left standing? The righteous one. In fact, look at verse 6. Look at the encouragement there. The righteous one, he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. Now, when it says remembered forever, it's not in the sense of, hey, do you remember so-and-so? He was a pretty righteous guy. Yeah, I barely remember him. No. This is Jehovah remembering you to resurrect you if something goes wrong. He remembers you by giving you a blessing forever in his kingdom arrangement. The righteous will be remembered. So may you be determined to continue seeking Jehovah's righteousness, not out of duty, but taking great pleasure in his commandments. And if you do, if you keep seeking for righteousness, keep pursuing righteousness, then we're not only going to find great joy in following God's ways now, but we will gain everlasting life so that we can praise our God, our righteous God, forever.
Thank you, Brother Garlock.